Good morning. Will you please stand as we
sing song 580?
Sing song 580.
Isaac Cowley-Shell, and I'd like to welcome you to Moscow Church. If this is your first time here, we'd like to thank you for coming, and we hope that you'll be comfortable. We look forward to spending the next 3.5 hours worshiping with you. Just kidding, that was a joke. The next hour worshiping with you. If you're a visitor today, we welcome you. You'll find a green contact card in the pew in front of you. Please fill that out. We'd love to get to know you better and how we can serve and pray for you. Now, let us come before the Lord with thanksgiving in our hearts, that we may please the Lord in all the in all that we say and do during the service of worship.
Let's pray.
Dear God, come with us, come be with us today. Hear our prayers and our praises. Lift us from our worries and our doubts. Remind us of your love and strength which surrounds us. Establish yourself within our hearts. Help us strengthen our foundation in you. Nurture the roots of our faith. Build us up from the cornerstone you provide to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with us as you hear your word and help us live out the teachings of your message. In your holy name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
People are also bringing please stand. People are also bringing babies to Jesus to have him bless them.
When his disciples saw this, they rebuked them.
But Jesus called the children to him and said,
"Let all the little children come to me.
Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these.
I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it."
Let's turn our hymnals, page 579, Jesus Loves Me.
Yeah. Boy, Jesus does love us, doesn't he? Don't these little songs like this just bring all sorts of memories to your mind? Maybe singing these songs when you're a child. But the message remains true, whether it's just a little song we sang when we were a kid or even singing it today here in church. The message is true. Jesus loves us, doesn't he? He loves us. He loves us, right? Yes. Amen. He loves us a whole lot. And he was willing to die for us, and he was willing to suffer our sin so that we could live. Praise God. Jesus loves us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the love of Jesus in which we come here this morning. Lord, our hearts filled with your love, our minds filled with your grace and your mercy. Lord, our lives filled with your blessings. Certainly, Lord, we see and feel your love each and every day of our life, Lord. And we come here this morning seeking to worship you, thank you, and praise you for the love in which you have shown each one of us. Lord, I just thank you so much for these children being here leading us this morning in this worship. Lord, it's just a blessing, especially for them just to lead us in that song, Jesus Loves Even Me. Lord, we thank you that we have received that love. Father, we praise you this morning. We praise your Son, Jesus. All that we do, Lord, I pray, even as it's already been prayed, Lord, that we just truly honor and bless you in all that we say and do here together. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. What a blessing to have the children leading us so far. Haven't they done a great job? They're doing a wonderful job. And Isaac, I'm glad you cut it back from 3.5 hours. Thought I had a lot of time there, 3.5 hours. I could really get into preaching then, couldn't I? But we're certainly glad to have all the youth here helping us this morning. They're doing such a great job. I want to take just a couple minutes, if we could, to gather up any of our prayer requests or praises that we would like to share or like to be in prayer for. Boy, listen to that. Lord's happy with our worship, isn't he? We hear sound of the Lord. Okay, we want to continue being prayer for Donald. I saw Donald come in. I can't find him right. There he is. Okay. We want to continue, Donald, to be in prayer for you and continue to lift you up in prayer. We just pray that every day you're making good progress, and we just... know that all the healing that's happening, we just praise the Lord for that. So, also, if you would continue to be in prayer for Bruce Shirky, if you would. Bruce shared with me this morning that he is continuing to heal. He did go to his orthopedic surgeon, and they said that they seem fine. And so I think everything is in line, and hopefully there won't have to be a surgery there on his hip, but we want to continue to pray for him, pray for his healing. He said to thank everyone, continue to thank everyone for their prayers and cards and phone calls, and that he really is grateful for all that the church is doing for him in that regard. Haven't heard it yet, but we're going to continue to pray for Ukraine, and we want to continue to lift up that situation. I think that's on our hearts and in our prayers as well. Seems like every week there's some new thing going on there and some other tragedy we're hearing about, atrocity there. So we just pray for those families affected by that horrific war and just pray that there's peace. We continue to pray for peace in that situation. Okay.
I tested her this week on, the medicine she's on to make her lose her hearing, and she has lost hearing.
Okay.
She has to be on that medicine 2 more times yet.
Okay. So just pray that that medicine won't affect her in a negative way anymore, but in the positive. So if you would, just continue to pray for the little girl in Stanton that we've been praying for, and just lift her up in prayer, if you would.
That's Natalie and Nicole.
Okay. Dove. Other prayer requests or praises you'd like to share? Anything else? With that, I'm going to have our ushers to to come forward and to collect our tithes and our offerings.
As you fed 5,000 from the gifts of a young boy, we pray that you will transform our gifts to spiritually feed the mainly spiritually hungry people through the ministry of this church. Heavenly Father, thank you for our good things you continue to provide for us. Don't let us take your gifts for granted or abuse them. Instead, help us always to rely on your faith. Use us and what you have given us for our good purposes. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
If you'd like to join me, I'll be reading Matthew 18. 1-9. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like him in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large milestone hung around his neck and not be drowned in the depths of the sea." Oh, and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. "Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand or your foot cause you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter the life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell."
Thank you, Kenny. Before I release the children's church, I just want to The youth Sunday school is going to stay up, but the children's church, the smaller group, will be going down. Although I just want to say before I do release the children's church, just how thankful I am for all the volunteers here at Moscow that work so diligently to help in our children's program. You know, on Sunday morning, we can have anywhere from 5 to 15, even more children here at Moscow. And it takes a lot of work for our leaders to keep that program going and to instruct. And so I just want to say a thank you. If you've been a leader in our children's church, I won't embarrass you, but maybe we can just show our appreciation to all those who did by showing just a round of thanks for all that they do. It's a big work. It's a big ministry here in our church, isn't it? The children's ministry. And we're so thankful for having just a vibrant children's youth ministry here and all that they do, especially for all that they've done already this morning. It'll make me lazy. I'll have you guys do it, and I won't have to do all that work, right? So, no, I really appreciate all that they've done, and they've done a wonderful job in leading our worship here this morning. So I'll go ahead and release our children's church, the younger group, the youth Sunday school will stay up, but if you want to go to the children's church, you can head down to that now. Hopefully you have your Bible open, and I hope you've heard here the scripture from Matthew 18, 1 through 9. And it reminds us again, Jesus here in this story reminding us, teaching us just how important the children are in the church, in the life of the church, even in the life of our faith. The children can teach us some things and show us some things. You know, children always keep things vibrant, don't they? They keep things lively. And I've heard many older people say, if I only had that amount of youthful energy once again. Have you ever said that? Maybe you've been guilty of saying that yourself. Just look at the children, see how much energy and youthful energy they have. And we just wish we would have that as well. Someone said youth is a time of rapid change and vigorous energy. Between the ages of 12 and 16, in which a parent can age 30 years. I think that's a lot of truth there. It is a lot of truth to that. I've gotten a lot of gray hairs during that period of 12 to 16 as my boys are in that teenage years. But there's just a lot of youthful energy that they bring. They certainly bring a lot of youthful energy here to the church. Youth is a precious thing, isn't it? It really is a precious thing. Someone once said, youth is so precious, it's just a shame that it's all wasted on the children. Beverly Shea, I think, said that. Another person said, youth is the ideal state, if only it came a little later in life. Lucille Ball said, the secret of staying youthful is to live honest, to eat slowly, and then just to lie about your age. We all embrace youth and just the pleasure and how precious youth is. You know, it seems like when we're old, when we were young, we spend a lot of time wishing we were older, right? And thinking about being older. But then when we get older, we spend all that time wishing we were younger again. Isn't that ironic that we do that? I guess never quite satisfied, but youth is a precious thing. You know, while we can't relive our glory days, those are all gone from us, one thing we can do for our youth here is to help encourage them, to example to each one of them what a Christ-filled life looks like, to uplift our younger people here at Moscow. You know, the children of Moscow are not a pest to the ministry. I've been in some churches and they feel like the children are a hindrance to the church. And that is the farthest thing from the truth. That wouldn't fly in Jesus' day either, would it? as he rebuked the disciples as they sought to turn away the children. And he was somewhat angered with them as he rebuked his disciples, saying that they were not to turn the children away, even using them as an example then of the things that should be. Listen, the children are the future of the church, aren't they? They're not a pest to the church. They are the future of the church. And if not this church, the future of some other church. They are our future. They're our future civic leaders. They're our future teachers. They are our future doctors and our nurses and firemen and electricians and so many other things that they will accomplish. And we have a remarkable opportunity, don't we, church, to influence their future for good. A unique opportunity. You know, a wise person once said, we can't always build the future for our youth, but we can build our youth for the future. And that's what we hope to do here at Moscow, to influence the children in a positive way, to encourage them, to allow them to see the examples of righteousness and holy living and all these wonderful things that they have an opportunity to see right here in the church. We have an opportunity to be a guiding voice, don't we? A guiding voice. An example of Christian virtue and righteousness. Now, not only do we have something valuable to teach the children, but I want you to notice here that Jesus shows us in this scripture that the children have something valuable to teach us as well, don't they? They're bringing something to us as well. And really, they're bringing to us a wonder and a warning when it concerns the kingdom of God. Notice there, Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God. Look at verse 3. And assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. So the children are teaching us something now, aren't they? As much as we have something to offer them, they have something to offer us when it is concerning our faith and the kingdom of God. So what are the things that the children teach us? And I want to give you some things here. I think five ways in which the children teach us about the kingdom of God, about our faith. Five lessons of wonder that speak to us. You know, children can teach us more than patience. They do that a lot as well, but they can also teach us about our faith. Now, you know, the disciples didn't believe that, did they? They didn't believe the children could teach anything. In fact, they kind of were shooing the families away that were bringing the children to Jesus. They didn't want the children there. They felt like they were a hindrance. And Jesus was too important. He didn't have time to be wasted on the children. And of course, he goes to show them that's the farthest thing from the truth. But Jesus rebuked the disciples, and notice there he says in verse 2, then Jesus called a little child to him, and he set him in the midst of them. Again, Jesus is getting ready to teach something here. So what are five ways that we can enter the kingdom of God like a child? What is Jesus saying here? Well, first of all, I want to say we can enter the kingdom of God joyfully. Joyfully. Children have a unique joyful spirit about them. I think Jesus is saying that when we come and we seek the kingdom of God, we seek to be entering into the kingdom of God, that we should be doing it with that joy of Christ or that joy within our life. You know, a child's joy is contagious, isn't it? It is. Every Sunday as I watch the children come up the steps and they got their papers and the things that they've been working on, sometimes they'll raise it up and want to show it to me. You can't do anything but smile because their joy is contagious. It fills you with joy as you see them having smiles on their face as they're learning about Jesus, and they just have joy within their life. You know, even as the children were leading you this morning, I was seeing some smiles on your face as well. They bring joy, don't they? And as you were watching them, you were smiling and enjoying every moment of them sharing with you. You know, come think of it, I don't remember that smile when I was doing it. No, I'm just picking, but they bring joy into our life. They bring such excitement and laughter and fun, and it just encourages each one of us. Let me ask you something. Do you have that joy within your life that you bring to church every Sunday? Are you filled with the joy of Christ that He desires from us as we seek His kingdom? Do we come joyfully? Do we come with joy in our heart? Do you enter the church every Sunday with joy? Because that's how God wants you to come. He wants you to come joyfully. And if you're coming with some other feeling in your heart, friends, you're not coming to seek His kingdom as you should. He points out that you should be like a child when you come seeking His kingdom. Joyfully they come seeking Christ. You should be joyful as well. The same is true for our church. Youth should not have an age, and nor should joy. The kingdom of God should be a joyous place. A church should be a joyous place, a place where you see people smile. True joy is expressed in our attitude, in our greetings with one another, in our body communication with one another. We should have a spirit of joy in the church. It should reflect that kingdom of God that is joyous. You know, there's no room for the sourpuss in the kingdom of God. You know what I mean when I say sourpuss? Someone that looks like they've spent all morning sucking on lemons. You know? Do you come to church looking like you've sucked on lemons all morning? You know, that anger face? That hard-line face? Or do you come with that face of joy, that light of Christ within your life, that Christ has given you His joy? Friends, take warning. If you're not coming with the joy of Christ within your heart, you are misrepresenting the kingdom of God. We are to be a joyous people, even like the children are a joyous people. I think Jesus thought it was a great lesson to teach His disciples at that moment. They are to have joy within their life. You know, Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, where there is Christ, there is joy. There's joy. And then He said, from joy there's peace, and from peace there's patience. From patience there's kindness. From kindness there's goodness. From goodness there's faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. But notice how He starts all those things. Where the Lord is, where God is, there is joy. Let me ask you again, friends, do you come on Sunday morning with joy in your heart? Do you come with the joy of Christ that you are here? You're so thankful to be here. You're so glad that you'll be here, that you are able to be here, that Christ has saved you from your sin. You're coming with that joy within your life to worship and praise God because He has filled you with His goodness, His gladness, His celebration. That's how we're supposed to come, aren't we? We're supposed to come to church with joy. We need to get rid of the frowns, don't we? There's lots of things to frown about in life, friends. There is. There's lots of things to frown about. We got a lot of things that upset us. We got a lot of things that hurt our feelings. We got a lot of struggles. Friends, we all got struggles. But the joy of Christ should fill our life. The one thing that should lift us up above all our troubles should be the glorious things that God has done for you and for me. We're to be filled with joy. With joy. Where there is Christ, there is joy. And you can make the exact opposite of that. Where there is no joy, there is no Christ. There is no Christ. Where there is joy, where there is Christ, there is joy. You know, when I was or when the boys were small and I would have to leave for different things, coming in and out, different appointments or different meetings. Sometimes I was away for a few hours. Sometimes I was away for days. But, you know, it didn't matter if I was away for a few hours or a few days. When I came back, when the boys were small, now that changes when they get a little older. But when they were small and Dad came in the door, do you think they were filled with joy to see Dad? Boy, they were filled with joy. Dad's home! Dad is home! And they were excited to see me. They were excited that I was there and that I was coming home there to be with them. There was an excitement. There was a joy that you could see in their faces and in their life. I wonder if we can't measure the value we put on something or someone by the amount of joy in which we give it. Think of that. If we can't somehow just measure how much we appreciate something or how much we love someone by the amount of joy that we give to that person, or even the joy that that person fills us with. Is the joy of Christ missing from your worship, from your life, from your church attendance, from your employment, from your home life, from your marriage? What level of joy do you constantly bring to God and to those around you? Isn't that an important question? What level of joy do you bring to God every week, every day, and to those around you? Listen, the children come joyfully to the kingdom of God. Number two, they also come expectantly. They come expectantly. Children who come boldly to Jesus because he knows that God loves them entirely. You ever notice the children don't really worry about things like us adults? Have you ever seen a two-year-old worrying about whether or not you're going to get the mortgage paid this month? You ever seen a two-year-old worry even about whether or not you're going to fix them supper? Now, they might tell you they're hungry, but they don't worry about these sorts of things, do they? I don't believe it's because of ignorance totally, but I think that they have a level of expectancy that they put upon you as their parent. They don't worry like we worry. We seem to worry about everything, don't we? We worry about things we have no ability to change. We worry about things that oftentimes are foolish to be worrying about in the first place. Billy Graham said, some people spend so much time worrying about what might happen, they never enjoy what is happening. That today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday, is what he said. Kind of interesting way of saying it, isn't it? We worry, worry, worry. We worry about all sorts of things. Worry about what's going on in the world. We worry about what's going on in politics. We worry about things at work. We worry about, and constantly our lives are filled with a sense of worry. But a child doesn't worry, does he? He or her. A child just simply has a level of expectancy within their life that things will happen the way that they're supposed to happen. There's just this innocent expectancy that mom and dad are looking over me. They got this. I don't have to worry about all those things because mom and dad are taking care of it and they love me and they're in control. And they're always looking out for my best interest. Isn't that what a child thinks? Reminds me of the scripture where Jesus was talking about. He said, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more value than they? Boy, it puts things in perspective when it comes to worry, doesn't it? God's providing for the birds. They're neither storing up things in barns, all that sort of thing, but the Lord provides for them daily. They don't worry about where their next meal is coming from. Yet, how much more valuable are you than the birds? And yet we spend all our time worrying about little things like that. Listen, this is the same sort of expectancy that God wants us to bring into the kingdom of God. He doesn't want you worrying all the time, filled with worry in your life. He wants you coming with a level of expectancy that you know your Father in heaven is good, that He's watching over you, that He loves you, that He is attentive to your every need, and that you can trust in Him. That brings us to my third point, that they come trustingly. Isn't it amazing how much our children will put our trust in us? You know, when the boys were small, I can remember they were both afraid of the water. But we taught them to swim. And you would start by just going into the water with them kind of on your side. And boy, they were clenched up tight, but they were holding on, you know, scared and afraid of the water. But, you know, they trusted you. And as we were teaching them to swim, we would start kind of with a wall and they would swim out a little bit. And then you'd grab them, take them back. You'd help them, you'd hold them underneath and kind of position them in the water to where they can swim and try to keep them up. And so there was this level of trust. We'd put them on the swings and swing them, and they trusted us that we weren't going to push them so hard that they fly out in the yard. You know, there was a level of trust that the children placed upon us, a level of confidence that we were going to look after them, that we were going to keep them safe. They never questioned our intent because we were dad and we were mom. Children put their full confidence in us. And listen, God is wanting you to put your full confidence in Him. Let me ask you, is there ever a time where God has let you down? Is there ever a time where you could look at God and say, God, you just didn't do what I wanted you to do? Well, there may be times when we say we wanted something, but we can't accuse God of being bad, can we? We can't accuse God of ever letting us down. We might have had a different thought of what should happen, but God is always giving us what is best. We come with joy, we come with expectance, we come trustingly. Number four, we come innocently. These children come, they were just about as innocent as you could particularly get. You think of a newborn baby being born, they're just so perfect, aren't they? Like little angels, really, when you look at them. They're so perfect. It's about as close to sinlessness as you could potentially get. They have a level of innocence about them. They're not yet totally corrupted or corrupted by the things of the world. Purity is the image of a glass of water not mixed with anything else. And a child, when they're born, they're just pure, aren't they? They've not been tainted by the things of the world like we have, like little angels. No flaw, no sin. The only thing a baby wants is to be loved, to be held, to be snuggled, to be fed. Children are so innocent. You don't ever spank a baby, do you? No. You don't spank a baby. A baby is a thing of purity and righteousness, of mind and deed. And I think that's exactly how God wants us to be. They were bringing these children, these babies, to Jesus, that He would anoint them, that He would bless them. Even like we still do today within the church, we'll bring children forth and we'll bless them, we'll bless the parents. But this idea of innocence, that they were coming, they were pure, and that as the disciples, the disciples had something to learn, we have something to learn from that. We too should be coming with presenting ourselves as pure and innocent to God. There's a level of innocence. And number five, lastly, they come humbly. Look there at verse 4 in your scripture. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. For whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. There's a level of humiliation that Jesus is saying. These children, they come humbly before him. They're not prideful. They're not puffed up. You know, humility is not humiliation. It's not embarrassment or even loss of self-respect. Humility is really the modest opinion of one's own importance, one's own self-importance. Now, the problem is with the disciples, they felt that these children were not worthy to come. They kind of prided themselves that Jesus needs to have time only for me. I'm the disciple. Or other adults, that he has no time for these children, that he has to deal with the adults, not the kiddos. And so they really placed themselves in a prideful place that they were more important than the children or than others around them, that they had a more worthy place of self-importance than anyone else to be near Jesus and to receive the blessings that came from Christ. Listen, you're only worthy to come to Jesus when you realize that you're not worthy. You're only worthy to come to Jesus when you realize that you're not worthy. That's what Jesus was showing them. If you think you can come because of all the things you have, your good works, or all this pride you got about how good you are, how upstanding you are, how many good things you've done, Jesus has no place for you in his kingdom. You don't need apparently you don't need him. It's when we see ourselves as unworthy, that we're unworthy, that we really don't have anything to boast in, that we're not greater than the person beside us. That's when Jesus said, I welcome you in. You know, the Bible tells us that pride is the root of all sin. That pride is the root of sin. And if pride is the root of sin, then humility is the start of all spiritual success within our life. You know, I can't stand to see pride in the ministry. This is what Jesus is pointing out, really. The disciples were the ministry, weren't they? They were the future ministers that were to go forth, and he was saying, friend, you must humble yourself. And they learned that lesson again when Jesus washed feet. Oh, Jesus, you can't wash my feet. You know, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in the kingdom of God, is what Jesus says. We must humble ourselves. We must be humble. This keeping this humble opinion of one's own self. Jesus came as a humble Savior, didn't he? He came in all humble means, really. He wasn't born in some palace in a gold throne. He was born by humble means. He was a humble servant of God. He died a humble death. He was humble in all that he did. Jonathan Edwards said, humility is key to the kingdom of God. It's one of the most essential things, he says, that characterizes true Christianity. We must come humbly to the throne of God. We come joyfully. We come expectantly, we come trustingly, we come innocently, we come humbly. These are all the attributes that Jesus was pointing out to his disciples. Now, I'll leave you with the warning. That verse 3 picks it up. And I said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child or little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Boy, that's a warning, isn't it? You don't come joyfully, you don't come humbly, you don't come trustingly, you don't come innocently, you don't come expectantly. He says that there's no place for you in the kingdom of God. Fail to become like a child in your in your seeking of the kingdom of God, then you will miss heaven altogether. Verse 6 goes on there, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him that a millstone were hung around his neck. There's warning too. If we're to mislead the children in any way, it'd be better, he says, that a rock was tied around your neck and you were thrown out into the ocean. Boy, that's pretty brutal sounding, isn't it? And then warning 3. Woe to the person from which sinful things comes, he says. Woe is not really pity here, but he's given us a prognosis that if you continue in the sinful things, you reject these things that I give you, coming joyfully, coming expectantly, coming trustingly. You reject all these things humbly. If you reject that, then you've rejected me. That's what he's saying. You've rejected me. And there's no place in the kingdom of God for you then. Listen, we want to come with all those things, don't we? Amen? We want to come with all those things within our heart. We can start with joy, right? Have joy in our heart right now. Joy for the wonderful things that we've received from Christ. We come humbly, trustingly, expectantly. We come before our Lord with these things within our heart. As we seek the kingdom of God, we seek to become like little children. With the wonderful things that they bring, we must bring it too. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this example that you give us. Lord, the things that the children, even the children right here at Moscow, can teach us about our faith. Lord, we see your word here this morning. We hear it. Lord, we seek to apply it within our life. Lord, we pray that we're more than just hearers, but Lord, that we are doers of your word. Lord, I pray that we express these attributes within our faith as we seek you with all our heart, mind, and soul. Help us, Lord, I pray, to live out these things daily, to be truly like these children in that regard. Father, bless us, I pray, in these things. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to gather now in our closing hymn. Page 357, Jesus Loves Even Me. Page 357. Let us stand together and sing. Thank you. share now in our benediction.
May the peace of God be in your hearts, the grace of God be in your words, the love of God in your hands, the joy of God in your soul, and in the song that your life sings. Amen.
Amen.